Hello and welcome again to Catholic Answers Focus. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and this week things get a bit personal for us here at Catholic Answers because, to put it bluntly, some friends are facing calumny and harassment. I think those are the appropriate words. One of our neighbors here in San Diego has been labeled, as have other Christian organizations, a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. These days, the Southern Poverty Law Center is essentially a direct mail fundraising group. But in the 1970s and 80s, the center did groundbreaking work fighting the Ku Klux Klan. What many people don't know is that following that work, the entire staff of the center resigned in protest because it was becoming a political organization. Only its founder, who has subsequently become wealthy off the direct mail campaigns, remained on the staff at that time. Still, there's been an unwillingness within the media to report negatively on the center, and many people, including corporate America, still take the center's hate group label quite seriously. It's serious business when the center slaps its hate group label on someone, which is exactly what happened to the folks over at the Ruth Institute, an international organization headquartered here in San Diego and dedicated to reversing and healing the worst harms of the sexual revolution. It's the Institute's support for traditional marriage, as you may have guessed, that has earned it the hate group label. Dr. Jennifer Robach-Morse is the director of the Institute and has many times been a guest here on Catholic Answers Live. Her inclusion on the list has sent shockwaves around the country. As a consequence of this designation, the Institute was no longer able to process donations because its credit card processing company, Vanco, cut off service without warning, grace period, or ability to appeal, Jennifer Robach-Morse writes. Vanco, which is owned by Wells Fargo, did not respond to a request for comment. Neither did the Southern Poverty Law Center. But with Dr. Morse traveling, we did reach out to a couple organizations who are also designated hate groups by the center for their perspective on the marriage issue. We're joined now by Chris Gasek, a senior fellow at the Family Research Council, one of the organizations that's been labeled a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Chris, thanks for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Can you give us a little window into what you think Family Research Council has been, why you've been targeted by the Southern Poverty Law Center, and maybe what the consequences have been for your organization?
Well, I think ultimately the targeting, there's sort of like what they say, and I think there's a sort of a what the real reasons are. I think, let me just go to what the real reasons are in a second. I think if you're a social conservative organization that is effective, eventually you're going to be targeted by them, right? You are going to end up, the way things are developing, you are going to be on this hate list sooner or later. And that's, I think, been made clear by just who's on the list in terms of these, sort of categories that they call like anti-LGBT and, in terms of their statement about us, it had to do with, issues related to homosexuality and same-sex marriage and attraction and certain kinds of, disagreements we had with them. I think we had an article about, the loosening of moral standards and the effect that it would have on, sex between like men and minors and things like that. So that's, sort of the triggering device. But I, as I said, I think that there's a lot more going on here. And let me just say something. Family Research Council has never had any sort of claim that anyone has ever done anything, violent against another human being because of anything that we've done or said. And it's, all of this, what anyone here has ever said is, would have been traditional mainstream Christian teaching, in the Catholic Church or in any church or in most or in many places, 25 years ago.
That's what's striking. When you read the comments, they'll take little bits of what the Family Research Council has published here or there, and they sound like, that's what Christians have always believed. That's what the Judeo-Christian tradition is about. And these are the very things that are being used to say, you're a hate group. Not that you're supporting violence somewhere, or you're having rallies, or it's nothing like that. Just that.
Right. No, that's a very interesting point. They're going to your psychological state, right?
Yeah.
Exactly right. And I think one of the things that's very interesting is there was an article yesterday in Bloomberg view by a woman. She's kind of a liberal, but she's a Catholic, and she's not. Her name is Megan McArdle, and she was writing about one of the more just sort of outrageous additions to the list, the Ruth Institute. And they're located out in Southern California, but they're essentially a. Jennifer Roback Morse is the woman who runs, who founded the organization and runs it. It essentially classifies the organization as a victim to defend the victims of the sexual revolution. So it's sort of like if you took, like if you're a lawyer, right, and you took, you know, Humanae Vitae and you just sort of, you know, took the progeny of cases or literature and sort of thinking about, you know, Humanae Vitae and sort of Catholic sexual teaching, right, and just sort of, you know, followed it through and applied it to things that you were seeing in the modern world, right? That's essentially what they believe in talking about, you know, the victims of these things, and who can be not only, you know, people who are like, you know, children of broken homes or something, but also the participants in behavior that's immoral, right? Or, you know, it's contrary to the moral law or the God's law. So, you know, that's essentially what she believes and what she's taught, and there's really not even a political arm to what she does. She's, you know, a 501c3, and and she gets on the list. And so this was, it's just very shocking. And we had an article. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, no, I wanted to just say the consequences of that are that corporate America accepts what the Southern Poverty Law Center says, and they cancel her accounts. Wells Fargo says you can't process your accounts through us anymore. So she can't take donations. I mean, there are real consequences to these things.
Well, no, this is exactly what I think America is waking up to, right?
Yeah.
There are sort of a lot of layers to this, and one of the sort of a side aspect of this is that Silicon Valley and the sort of the electronic, you know, the sort of data industries and these, you know, electron moving industries, have sided with the left in a manner that has never been seen before in American politics. I mean, you know, if you were like a car manufacturer or, you know, you might have a sort of an oddball guy who, you know, a boat manufacturer or something who was a Democrat, right? Or, a suit maker or something, right? But, I mean, you know, in general, industry stayed out of politics and, you know, for various reasons. And what we're seeing now is something very different. And, you know, again, if it's somebody who's, you know, like an art dealer or something and you can come or go, that's not a problem. But if it's somebody who's like controlling the website, you know, to your church or your organization and whether or not it gets buried or whether it's somebody who's controlling whether or not you can receive financial contributions, like your bank.
Right.
You know, you can't do banking because they're ascribing to some, you know, non-governmental list put together by some left-wing cranks in Alabama.
Right.
You know, some leftist activists. It's starting to get pretty scary.
And the consequences for you all at the Family Research Council were even more serious than that on one occasion, and I believe you were in the building when there was an attack on your institution.
Yeah, right. So what happened was that on August 15, 2012, there was essentially an attempted assassination of the staff here by someone who was a self-described gay activist. And he was, you know, we know that he was motivated to come here or directed to come here in a way because he went on the Southern Poverty Law Center's, you know, hate map and looked up, you know, for the District of Columbia, looked for, you know, I think it was gay at the time is the way they described it, you know, groups. And we were on there. And so he came over and had a gun with 100 round, you know, 9mm that he just purchased and tried to gain access to the building, got into a fight with our building manager who was shot in the arm, but still subdued him. And, it was I mean, it was right. It was a horrible event, and he was severely shot. I mean, I don't want to. He was shot in the left arm, but his, you know, the bones were shattered, and only by the grace of God, and you know, working through some amazing surgeons at Howard University, you know, in the trauma ward there, was he basically able to keep his arm and not have any nerve damage miraculously. So, you know, yes, I mean, we can see this, and I think to some extent, I'm not going to lay this at the door of the SPLC in the same way, but you see the agitation that can occur with these sorts of, you know, these people are a bit unstable, like this guy Hodgkinson, who, you know, tried to kill all these members of Congress, you know, in the Senate at the baseball diamond.
Right.
You know, the playing field.
But the Southern Poverty Law Center, despite the fact that this man said he learned that you were, quote, a hate group from their hate map.
Exactly.
Never apologized. As a matter of fact, they turned it around. They essentially said, look, you're the people that are doing the evil. We haven't done anything evil.
Yeah, I know. Right. No, exactly. They never, you know, they never. It's really extraordinary when you think about it. Right? I mean, I just would think, you know, it shows like sort of this, like the callousness, and it's almost like the sort of, you know, the kind of the cold leftist totalitarian mindset that you'd like find in, you know, like the Maoist Cultural Revolution, right? You know, or Pol Pot's Cambodia or something. I mean, it's just, you know, a normal person would say, oh my gosh, we put this map up here, somebody got shot, you know, we're just trying to, you know, reform America. Let's do something different. Not them, right? They're like, yeah, not a problem. Not a problem if somebody gets shot, you know, especially even if the building manager who's, you know, African American and you know, they're supposed to care so deeply about African Americans. Maybe if he gets shot, he's just, you know, collateral damage, right?
Right.
And, you know, that's the way these people look. I mean, it was, the more I think about that aspect of it, that, you know, there was never even no person ever came to see him in the hospital, or, you know, nobody sent him a card or something like that. I mean, it's just the most cold-blooded, you know, inhumane interaction with the victim of something you've done, even inadvertently. A person would be more expressive of at least sorrow at the situation, right?
Yep. Well, now your president, Tony Perkins, is among a large number of conservative and Christian leaders, both. I mean, and those are overlapping categories here.
Sure.
Who have now signed a letter this week, I believe, and it's addressed to the media. What do you think is the goal of this letter about the Southern Poverty Law Center?
Well, I mean, I think here's what I think the point of it was. It was to essentially say to them, look, CNN had used, there was a lot of hysteria after the, you know, this horrible day of rioting in Charlottesville. And people sort of, I think there's a lot of, you know, overreaction about a lot of things. But one of the really dire consequences of that is that, for example, CNN put on its website an article that said, you know, here's where the, you know, your local hate group lives, right? Or, you know, how to find your local hate group or something like that. Well, I mean, for us, we really understood what that can mean, right?
Right.
It means like, well, go pick up your shotgun and go find the local hate group, right? And, you know, we called CNN and at least they changed the headline, but the story is still up there. And then the letter was essentially calling them out and other media, because the media uses this all over the place. And I mean, at one point you have to just sort of, this sort of is a larger, you know, sort of a, this is a footnote, a, you know, it's part of the story of what the media has become in this country, which is just another activist left organization in, you know, just in a grand scale,
right?
Because they shouldn't be using, you know, these sort of monikers, meaning, you know, hate groups and all this sort of stuff, without really having a better idea. They're not even sort of going and looking and confirming these things, right? Like local journalists in, you know, who might like cite the SPLC, they don't go around in their own home state and say, well, are these people around? Where are they? You know, looking for them. Nobody ever checks up on that. I mean, can you imagine if, like, you know, we put out a hate list of all sorts of liberals or something, and, you know, or you did that? I mean, you would have to defend your inclusion of people. And,
right, exactly.
So, I mean, but normal journalistic standards aren't even applied to this thing. And so what we were just saying was, look, you've got to really, you know, reconsider this. This is dangerous. These people are just political activists. And this list really deserves no respect and has no credibility, and you need to stop using it. And you're on notice now, in a sense. If something happens, it's on your head. You know,
you get a sense of it, and I wonder if you share my sense of it, that there's been a kind of decision that's within a certain set of institutions that, look, this gay marriage thing is settled. If you don't go along, you're a hater. And so whether it's in big business, you know, Apple Computer giving money to the Southern Poverty Law Center, or, you know, Wells Fargo Bank canceling your accounts because the Southern Poverty Law Center says you're a hater, or it's these private institutions like the Southern Poverty Law Center or media institutions, it seems to me that there's a way in which they're sharing the same blinkered view of this. And that blinkered view is, look, if you want to keep the traditional Christian view, you're a hater and you may not like it, but we're not going to report anything negative about the Southern Poverty Law Center because that goes contrary to our narrative.
Yeah, well, that's what you just said is 100% correct in every detail. And so, no, I mean, okay.
Can we have you on every week? I would really.
I mean, I think you're exactly correct. And I think one of the aspects of this letter is to start saying to people, look, you've got to really start rethinking this. But let me just say, even though, like, there was a sort of whole array of these institutions that we're up against, right? One of the things that I think, on the other side, at least a positive development is that if you looked at this letter, it was 47 people signing, 47 organizations
right.
and individuals. There was a pretty broad array. Sure, there were Christians and conservatives in there, but so as you said, they were intersecting sets and overlap. But there was a lot of non-interlapped. I mean, it wasn't like there were, there were people who we wouldn't consider part of the traditional coalition.
I see.
On Christian issues,
right.
That are really starting to come on board here, right? And I think it's going to be expanding. So we are really, at the crossroads here. And I think people like in the Catholic Church and in all sorts of denominations are starting to really kind of rally to this point and really see this in a way. For example, I saw a recent poll where they're talking about Americans still value free speech and open debate and the principle of the First Amendment. Now, there are people on the other side who are willing to, let's say, suppress speech for these political and sort of safe space kind of, lefty kind of arguments. But they're a very, very small minority. I think we're at a sort of a really sort of critical moment, and it's important to get the word out, to radio shows like yours and...
Well, thanks for helping us do that, Chris.
Yeah, no,
we're very grateful for your time. Chris Gasek is a senior fellow at the Family Research Council. Chris, thanks so much. We really appreciate that you came on and talked us through this.
Hey, not a problem. Anytime. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Another Christian organization labeled a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center is the Alliance Defending Freedom. The ADF, just as its name would suggest, is an alliance-building legal organization that advocates for the right of people to freely live out their faith. For example, they're engaged at the moment defending the right of creative people to use their talents freely without having to violate their religious beliefs by participating in weddings for same-sex couples. Such stances have gained the hate group designation from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Joining us now is Carrie Kupek, Communications Director and Legal Counsel for the ADF. Thanks for being with us, Carrie.
And thanks for having me on.
So have you been organizing violent rallies, attacking people in the streets, or doing any of the things we usually associate with hate groups?
No, hardly. What we've been doing is, thanks be to God, winning at the Supreme Court for the last 7 years. In fact, we have won 7 cases in the last 7 years, and our most recent victory was just a few months ago. We won 7-2, and there the Supreme Court agreed with us that people of faith, religious organizations, should not be denied access to publicly available benefits like a safer playground service.
Oh, that was the Lutheran case that you won.
That's right. Trinity Lutheran, the playground case.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Congratulations on that one and on all your victories. How long have you been now? Is it just this summer that they put you on the hate group list over at the Southern Poverty Law Center?
It was several months ago, and it's really sad. Alliance Defending Freedom is the largest religious freedom legal advocacy organization in the world. As you mentioned earlier, we advocate for the rights of all people to be able to peacefully live, work, and speak consistently with their conscience, their convictions, their faith. We represent people from all walks of life. We have 400 victories in the area of free speech and academic freedom alone. We have a thriving campus or university practice. And like I said, we are a consistent presence at the Supreme Court. And in fact, we have another case upcoming quite soon, and that's the case of the cake designer, Jack Phillips, out of Colorado, the Masterpiece Cake Shop case.
And so are there consequences to you? I mean, the Southern Poverty Law Center, as we've kind of highlighted earlier in the program, is it's turned into a kind of a money-raising scheme, it seems like, in many ways. But many people still take it quite seriously. What are the consequences to you to being labeled a hate group?
Sure. The Southern Poverty Law Center, plain and simple, they've lost their way. They did good work years ago. And unfortunately now, they viciously go after, raise money off of, attacking anyone who disagrees with their extremist left-wing ideology. They attack veterans. They attack Muslims who are fighting extremists within Islam. They attack nuns. They attack Protestants. It really doesn't matter. As long as you do not fall in lockstep with their particular left-wing perspective, you are in danger of being put on their hate list. And it's not just a defamatory thing, which is serious enough as far as the lies and the deceptive propaganda that they put out about groups with whom they disagree. They actually put people's lives in danger with this creation of that hate list map. And as you know, Family Research Council, their map is what inspired the would-be mass murderer,
right,
Floyd Corkins, to go there and attempt to, in his own words, kill as many people as possible. And he cited Southern Poverty Law Center as his inspiration and was ultimately convicted of domestic terrorism.
Do you have a sense that are there other things that you can do to kind of fight back against this? Do you have legal recourse, for example, or are those things not available to you?
We're always evaluating our options. So I would like to be very clear about that. And we've been putting out a number of public statements lately, really taking FPLC to task, because of course we all agree that groups like the KKK and this white supremacy and nationalist movement, evil, absolutely evil. But it is so, so wrong for the FPLC to compare groups that fall on the right side of the ideological and political spectrum, to compare those groups with those evil groups is terrible. And it's sending a really deceptive message to the public. And the media commits journalistic malpractice when it cuts and pastes SPLC's so-called data and sticks it into their stories, because the average reader is looking at those stories and thinking
right.
They're reading a list from a neutral watchdog, when in fact SPLC explicitly states on its website that it only goes after the right.
Well, that's exactly right. I think you may be referring to, because CNN did this recently, just this summer, find your local hate group kind of thing, and they use the SPLC's map for that. But I wonder, for you, as like, you use lawyers all over the country, you're trying to find lawyers who are like-minded, who will try cases and who will work with the ADF. Does this harm those efforts?
It certainly doesn't help anyone when a person or an organization calls someone with whom they disagree a hater or labels them. It shuts down conversation. And that's one of the worst offenses of SPLC. In a time when our country is divided and there's all kinds of tensions for a variety of reasons, we should be encouraging civil conversation. We should be moving towards a path of civility. And when SPLC engages in this ridiculous and shameful and hateful name-calling and rhetoric, it only encourages that divide to widen and to really put people at odds when they shouldn't be. We can have reasonable conversations about issues that we disagree on. That's part of being American. That's part of living in a free society.
It does seem that the decision to insist on that all 50 states have gay marriage across the country that the Supreme Court made, I guess it must be a year and a half, 2 years ago now, has changed something. And there seems to be a desire to say, well, that ends that. And if you don't go along with that regime, you are a hater. Is that your impression?
Yeah, it's sad. It's very, very sad. The belief that marriage is a man and woman union is something that is been held across race, culture, time. It's a belief shared by Christianity, Judaism, Islam, across all of the big faiths. And the fact that people who adhere to these beliefs that are the core tenets of their faith are suddenly bad people or somehow possess some kind of evil bias is just, it's outrageous. And it's really sad. And it's interesting. This has come up a lot in the context of the Masterpiece Cake Shop, this idea about marriage. But the reality is we need to look at what the Constitution says. And the constitutional principles are very clear. All Americans should be free to live, speak, and work peacefully and freely, consistently with their conscience and their faith without threat of the government crushing them. And unfortunately, as you know, in a number of situations with our clients, the government is literally running them out of their work and their home simply for having a historical belief and traditional perspective on what marriage is.
And that's what's happening with the case that you're now bringing before the Supreme Court, the Phillips case. Is that right? Maybe you could just give us a little rundown of your involvement in that and the ADF's involvement in that and what that case is about.
Masterpiece Cake Shop involves a man named Jack Phillips. He's a cake designer, owns Masterpiece Cake Shop in Lakewood, Colorado. Jack serves everyone who walks through his doors, but as an artist, he can't create custom cakes for all events that would, say, violate his conscience. And so what happened here, two gentlemen walked into his store. They asked him to create a cake, a wedding cake, a custom wedding cake for their same-sex wedding ceremony. Jack politely declined and offered to sell them anything in his shop. And the reason he declined was because of his faith as a Christian and Christianity's teachings on marriage. These gentlemen were very angry. They swore at him. They walked out. And the next thing you know, Jack was being sued, by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. And what was particularly upsetting at the commission level was when they ruled against Jack, one of the commissioners, now this is an official, this is a government official talking here, compared Jack's beliefs, Christian beliefs on marriage, to that of a perpetrator of the Holocaust. And as if that's not offensive enough just on its face, why it was especially offensive to Jack was that his father fought in World War II and was part of a military unit that liberated Buchenwald. So his father was one of the very people that helped liberate people from Nazi prison camps. And now this commission is calling his son, comparing him to a Nazi, simply for holding the Christian beliefs on marriage. It's unbelievable, really. And so now we're at the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear his case. And just yesterday, over 45 different friend of the court briefs were filed on behalf of Jack. 86 members of Congress, 20 states, close to 500 creative professionals, constitutional law scholars, and the list just goes on and on. Civil rights advocates, all stating and understanding that tolerance is a two-way street in a truly free society and voicing their support for the First Amendment principle that protects Jack's freedom to freely create consistently with his convictions.
Well, amen to that. Doesn't sound like a hate. You just don't sound like a hate group to me. You're very, very unconvincing as a hate group. Carrie Kupek, Communications Director and Legal Counsel for the ADF. Thanks so much for spending this time with us.
And thanks for having me on.
And thank you to all of our listeners on Catholic Answers Focus. We very much appreciate that you appreciate the show. And be sure, if you have an opportunity, share it on Facebook so your friends can enjoy it as well. We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Focus.